Welcome to the tax update for October 2014, and we've got seven items, the last of which is just a recommendation to read Agent Update 44, as it's a good read for those long winter evenings when you've got nothing else to do. But the first item today is about profit extraction, and I was attending a meeting recently where a number of members reported that HMRC have been challenging the technicality of dividend payments, and they seem to have a number of challenges. The first is that it's not been done properly and no proper decision has been made. The second is that the dividend is paid when there is inadequate retained profits to cover the dividend. And the third is the settlements legislation. So this is just a warning that if you've got clients who are extracting profits from a company by way of dividend and do so on a regular basis, they should make sure there is a clear trail, making sure that the technicalities of how to pay a dividend are covered. The autumn statement is due out on 3rd December, and the finance bill will be published on 10th December. And we can only hope that they don't produce a budget giveaway that will never be enacted, because the election is in May 2015. HMRC have also launched a campaign for encouraging disclosures for credit and debit card deficits. It was launched on the 9th of October, and it follows from HMRC obtaining all the information from the financial companies that provided debit and credit cards. Those at risk are those who have thought they could make off-record sales and who may have been suppressing sales either to stay under the VAT registration threshold or as a means of extracting profits. There's HMRC guidance, and as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes which contain links for further reading. Now, an interesting case is that of Peter Drown, acting as the executor of the late Geoffrey John Ledley. And the issue was whether the executors could claim relief for losses which arose as a result of negligible value claims against the deceased income, which had to be taxed before his death. Mr. Ledley died in a motor accident in 2010, and he was due to pay income tax, but he had in fact made a number of bad investments, including shares and loans, which had become worthless prior to 2010, and the executors were lodging a claim on his behalf, claimed loss relief of £384,784, which they could use against £40,000 of income, and hope to carry the rest forward as a capital loss. HMRC were refusing this on the basis that the executor's claim was not competent, as they did not own the shares at the time when the negligible value was being claimed. These were owned by the deceased, who could have but did not make the negligible value claim. The court looked at this, and it's an interesting reason for the decision, because the court applied a purposive interpretation of the law, which is a considerable move from the strict literal interpretation that has emerged as the court's guidance in many previous decisions. The court ruled that the executors were acting on the late Mr. Ledley's behalf and were competent to make the negligible value claim, and therefore there was a loss which could be set against his income in the year prior to his death, but that there was no entitlement to carry forward the loss because the executors were a different legal person, and therefore the remainder of the loss would extinguish at the time of death. Another interesting decision is that of Mr. Martin, who became entitled to a bonus of £250,000 on signing on with his new employer, JLT Risk Solutions Limited, who wanted to ensure his services were retained for 5 years. So the bonus was contingent upon his completing that period, and his contract of employment provided that if he left early, he would have to repay all or part of the bonus. In fact, Mr. Martin did decide to leave early, and had to repay £162,500. And he obviously wished that to be set against the bonus which had been taxed as a signing on payment in the year in which it was taxed. HMRC's position was that he became liable to pay this as a result of breaching his contract, and the payment was therefore one of damages and could not be deducted. But that would really have produced a very unfair and outrageous result of him being taxed on £250,000, which he didn't receive. This is a very interesting case, and it deserves a good read. But it turns on the strict wording of the contract of employment, and it might therefore be relevant to any employer proposing to make contingent bonuses that might be repayable at some point in the future, to use the guidance of the court in getting it right, because the upper tribunal decided that they would uphold the decision of the first tier tribunal. This was that the payment of £162,500 counted as negative earnings and could be relieved in the year in which Mr. Martin had paid it, but was not available to cover the signing on bonus which he had received in an earlier year. Finally, HMRC have announced that they intend to increase the amount of debt which can be recovered by a coding restriction for high earners. The limit is currently £3,000 up to £30,000, but for people who earn more than that, they could find a more severe coding restriction. Thanks very much for listening.